We do have special music this morning. It's very special music. It comes from South America. We imported a group to come bless us. Charles Wesley wrote a beautiful hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." Can you imagine that, what it's going to be like in heaven to hear all these languages praising God? And so the Paulsons are going to bless us with a song in Yanomami, I believe. So,
well, we're going to begin with an English song. It goes back more than 100 years ago. I don't know when it was. But anyway, the message is real good for today. We're, you know, what's going to happen? What's next on the agenda? This is an answer.
God holds the key to all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad. I might be sad. What if tomorrow's cares were here without its rest? I'd rather he unlocked the day, and as the hours swing open, say, his will is best, my will is best. The very dimness of my sight makes me secure. For groping in my misty way, I feel his hand, I hear him say, my help is sure, my help is sure. I cannot read his future plan, but this I know, I have the smiling of his face and all the refuge of his grace. While here below, while here below, enough, this covers all my wants, and so I rest. For what I cannot, he can see, and in his care I say shall be forever blessed, forever blessed.
Could you come sing with me this song now together? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Estou seguindo a Jesus Cristo.
Deste caminho
eu não destino,
estou seguindo a Jesus Cristo. Atrás não volto, não volto mais.
Jesus Cristo erra, já não há o burri. Jesus Cristo erra, já não há o burri. Jesus Cristo erra, já não há o burri. Já é dato mais cata, já é dato mais cata.
I'll just stay here. Well, it's a really big privilege to share here today. I'm not as nervous as I was in chapel at the homes because I don't have to share just 15 minutes. So, but I just really thank you for this privilege. At my home church in Wisconsin, they do this thing, they interview missionaries real quickly, and you don't have any really liberty at all, right, Dad? So it's really nice to have this privilege of sharing with you. And it's really been neat. My dad is from, you know, a brother in church, and I know that Chet is. And he mentioned last week of how the theme, you know, of the service all kind of tied together, and I really appreciate that. In brethren assemblies, I should say assembly, but I appreciate today the songs that were chosen. And I'm going to share some photos, but first I want to just share a few verses and a few just illustrations from the tribe. I will let most of you know where I work, but I work in with ethnos, Missão Nova Esteva do Brasil, it's called in Brazil, the mission. Still in the real northwestern corner, really close to the border of Venezuela. So we're almost into Venezuela, and with the Yanomami people, and of course the many villages of the Yanomami people are in Venezuela. So our team is a church planting team, and my coworker is a Brazilian, Martha. So we've been working together since 1996. And then we have the couple that have worked there, actually, when my parents were still there, called Koi and Medium. And they are semi-retired from the village. They live most of the year in Peniel in the Bible Institute, the Mission Institute. But he is still working on translation. And so they make trips into the village. Sometimes he comes alone and sometimes Medium comes with him. Last year they spent more time with us because the rest of our team hadn't come back yet from all the pandemic. We had to be the mission evacuated us in March, the 24th of March of 2020, we all left the village. And so our team is now coming back. Martha and I, actually a couple that are going to open another work at a village that was a break off from our village, which is another story, but downriver, Noel and Esther were with us for quite a bit last year, so that was really nice. And then when Martha and I left, Daniel Giannini, he's American, he's from Virginia, and she's Brazilian, they flew back, they have a little girl now. And then in April, actually the beginning of May, Paulo and Patricia and their three children will be flying back. So, yesterday, there's always so much that you could share. It's hard to think, okay, what am I going to share? And I want to share a verse. And so yesterday when I was resting a little bit, I was listening to a message about spiritual warfare. And that's just something that is, really evident, all over the world. But it's so visible there with the Yanomami people. And so, since I'm involved a little bit in translation work, when I read the Word, or sometimes when I'm journaling something about my devotions, I like to rewrite verses like kind of the way I would write it down. So this verse is going to be just paraphrased in my version, okay? 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. Even though we still live in this world, we don't do spiritual warfare like other people do. The weapons we use in battle are not the same ones the people of this world use. Rather, the war weapons we use have God's mighty power to destroy the enemy's fortresses. And I know that you know the next verse. It talks about breaking down the human pretensions and but I just wanted to read, I mentioned this book in chapel the other day, but I just wanted to read just a quick paragraph from here that made me think actually of these verses that I was reading the other day. It talks about the position that we have, that we should have in prayer is abiding in Christ. And the condition, of course, is to be walking in the Spirit. And then it talks about how we need to know Him, we need to know Christ. And starts with a question here. Do you know him? Not do you know about him. The world may know about him, but do you know him? Poor world, tearing to pieces the wonderful truth of God. That reminds me of Sunday school. Someday they will know him too late. The best Christian evidence you can produce in your own knowledge of Christ is as a person, the living Christ. Until you know him like that, you are apt to be bewildered by the condition of things in the world. But 1,000 skeptics cannot throw a shadow on your heart if you really know him. Mm-hmm. Nothing without will disturb you, and you can go into the blackest haunts of Satan in search of souls, and yet be with Christ in the light as he is in the light. All our equipment for service of God is centered in a person. It is the personal knowledge of Christ the Lord. And then I thought of the verse. I was going to share this a bit later, but I'm going to say it now. 1 John 1, 5b. God is light, and in him is absolutely no darkness. My dad, we now have the internet in the village. That was as of last April, which is amazing to me, especially for communication, especially with my parents, my family, friends. You can do online banking now. And listening to messages, it's just really, it's really cool. I thought there would be maybe more pressure from the people, but so far it's gone okay. We have had to do a bit of communication for the health group that is there. We now have there's a health organization through the government, and so sometimes we help them. But anyways, it's really nice to have the internet. And my dad, at the same time that we were studying a little bit about the armor of God, my dad was sending, he'd take pictures of the study that Chet was giving, the Ephesians study about the armor of God. So I thought that was really neat, and I was looking up things on the internet as well. I say that because last year, Coy was giving who's going through Ephesians, and he talked about the armor of God right before he left. At the end of July, Lindsay Drake was there helping with another translation check. And so when Coy left, Martha and I were kind of on our own, because Ezekiel, the one that I know you always pray for, he was going through a really hard time last year. Ever since we left in the evacuation in 2020, it was really hard for him just kind of be responsible and just kind of be left there. He was already going through some ups and downs. And so Martha and I, we said, well, what we have God's word, you know. And so we sort of separated the sheep and the goats. And I was working, doing the chronological study with a few of the unbelievers, and she was meeting with the believers, whoever would come. And that actually went through a really low time. There weren't very many believers even showing up for the meetings. But I got really excited about a study, and I was starting to do one. And Ezekiel, even though he wasn't really doing well, emotionally, even spiritually, but he got excited about it as well. And so we started to put a study together about the armor of God, and it was really neat. But then I got to the point, and Mark and I were discussing this, that the believers just weren't ready. They aren't ready for that right now. There are some areas of their culture, beliefs, the lies that Satan has given them, that we kind of have to take some step backwards in that. But and just to talk about that a little bit, the lies of saints in the Yanomami culture, I mean, it's just, it blows you away. Martha and I work with the kids a lot, and the little ones in school, they will do something, they will take colored pencils and try to hide them in their clothes, you know, and take them home. Just, I don't know why they want to take them home, because they don't have really things to write on, but they write on the walls or, I mean, they will do that, and right as they're doing that, give me those, you shouldn't be taking, steal it. No, I didn't take it. You see them do it. I mean, lies, it's just, lying is their language, really, because their father is the enemy, the father of lies. And you just see, and what I wanted to mention the Ephesians study, because Martha and I, we were just really kind of wanting to make a stand against line, you know, a stand for the truth. And as soon as we really did that last year, since we were alone, we had a lot more, I think, contact with the people one-on-one, and we did a lot of things individually. We kind of just read the scripture with a couple ladies. And so we got to know them, things that we knew about the believers or about the culture, but just became clear, you know, more evidence. And it was crazy because as soon as we were talking about, you know, standing up for the truth more and really combat, you know, the lies, it would just come all over the place, you know, lying and different things. And I just want to give an example. Ezekiel, you know, he is a believer. He's been a strong witness, a testimony, a light. And something happened with him that just gives an example of the lies that Satan has, you know, put in their beliefs. Ezekiel and his family, they go to the gardens often together, and this makes it really hard for him now because his wife, you know, many of you know that she passed away the day that I was flying to the States. And so it's really been hard for him to go to the gardens. But they go as a family, and they work together. Well, Ezekiel was in the garden by himself one day, and he heard this noise. It sounded like someone calling, like someone was in trouble or something. And he didn't know, and he kind of called back, and he didn't know what that was. So when he got back, and they live in a little group of houses close to the end of the airstrip, close to our houses. It's close to the main communal house, but it's just kind of separate. It's not all believers that live there. They're the other family groups. But anyways, he got back to his house, little group, and he wondered, you know, if his kids were okay or who was doing that, you know, calling in the garden. And he talked to one of the ladies that lives there. It's sort of a relative of a relative. But he said, oh, you're going over to the main communal house. Can you just ask and see if everybody's okay, if there was someone, you know, yelling in the garden or something. And so she went to the communal house, and she said, oh, Ezekiel heard Onka in the garden, and that's a spirit kind of thing. And, you know, and so that lie kind of spread. And this Onka thing, it's like when something happens in the village, someone dies or they're fearful of something, it's like all these Onka stories just spread all over. My dad has some to tell, I know. And so that's just an example, you know, the enemy puts these lies in their heads. And the whole thing with the lights, singing about the light today, that was really neat because Ezekiel, we have really seen how he has been able to shine his light in the darkness, and it's not been easy. And I just want to give one little example of God's light shining in the darkness. Back in, I think it was December, Ezekiel was going through, like I said, a low time, and he has actually struggles with high blood pressure and stress sometimes. I joke around that he gets that from the missionaries, because in general, Indian people don't have, but unfortunately, we missionaries, we deal with things like that. So, I think it rubbed off on him. But anyways, he does have a lot of pressures, and he is a light. He is an example in that village. And but he was going through a low time. He was really stressed out because his son, he's a teenager. He recently got married, so hopefully that he's doing better. But the thing with running around with girls and all that, Ezekiel was afraid that there was going to be a social control fight that happens a lot of times. And he was just really getting stressed. His blood pressure just went up and he kind of passed out. I don't know what all went on, but, it was like in the middle of the night, I think after midnight, and his oldest son ran over and got Martha and I. And he said, I don't think he even said that his dad was asking for us. He just said that he wasn't doing well. So we got up, went over there. I think it was kind of muddy. Put our rubber boots on, our umbrella, and I'm not sure if it was, I think it might have been raining, I'm not sure. But so there were the health people were there, putting on an IV and checking his oxygen and all that, and he was kind of out of it in his hammock. And so after all that calmed down, and I had taken my bench over there, so I just sat right close to his hammock, and people kind of went back to the other communal house. They were all crying and all, you know, they're really dramatic, really emotional, especially our dialect of Yamalami Shamatati people. And so after all that, Martha said, well, you know, what are we going to do? Well, let's just read the word and pray, and, you know, that's what we're going to do. So she ran home to go get a copy of, I think, Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians. And so I just sat there right next to Ezekiel, and his wife was close by, and his son. And then the father-in-law of his daughter was there, and he started doing something, rubbing on his stomach, on his chest. And I'm like, oh, what do you, you know, what's going on here? You know, they usually don't want witchcraft. And so I said, you know, you can't remember, you can't mix, you know, Satan's, you can't mix the spirit, you know, thing with God. There's only one creator God. I just kind of reminded him. But afterwards, his son told me he wasn't, the guy, Joel, wasn't really doing witchcraft. He was just kind of sad. But I'm like, well, you know, if you're not a believer and you're doing something on someone when they're ill, you know, it's not right. So anyways, and then he kind of, Ezekiel kind of, I don't know, he was able to, he got a little bit better, I guess. And so he kind of said something to Joel. He said to stop whatever he was doing. And so he moved away and he started crying a little bit. And well, after all this passed and Ezekiel was better, we talked to him about it. And he said that, I think he heard this actually from someone else. I don't think actually this man told him. But he said that night, this Joel, he was wanting to do witchcraft on him, but he could not. Because he said that Ezekiel, Martha, and I were just, it was just, we were just shining. And he couldn't do witchcraft on him. I was like, Lord, thank you, you know. Just thank you. And so I know that was an encouragement to Ezekiel. And since then, the Lord really brought Ezekiel to a healing time in Boa Vista. He was out for a little health thing. And that's another whole story I don't want to get into now. But the Lord used someone to talk to him, and it just kind of woke him up. It was things that we were talking to him about his health, about trusting, about not being anxious. But just the guy said it to him in a different way, and we don't even think it was a believer. Actually, it could have been even an angel, someone that kind of disappeared. But because Ezekiel tried to find him in the Indian, you know, house there in town. But we just praise God that before Ezekiel's wife passed away, Ezekiel was better. He was better emotionally, you know, spiritually, mentally. And so that was just really neat. I just wanted to mention something before, another thing. The Yanomami people, of course they're animists. They believe in a lot of spirits, and they have to appease the spirits. They have to, you know, do all these things. The witch doctors have to go through little courses. If they get their spirits are weak, they have to take another course, you know. And dreams are a big thing. They're really affected by dreams. Although sometimes they'll have a dream, and then the fear will kind of blow over, and then they kind of, you know, forget about their dream. But, yeah, so we are really praying that the Word of God can be really replaced by the lies of the enemy and the dreams. And I've had the privilege of working a little, I call myself a translator secretary, because I don't believe that I'm actually in the level of the language. The things that get me in any language, in Portuguese too, that it's taken me a long time to learn, are the verbs. The verbs are... And in Portuguese, it's all the tenses of verbs. In Yanomami, it's like the, what's the end of words? What are they called? Like the suffixes. Like they go on. Like either you did something, like right now I could do something, draft this book, or if I did it this afternoon, or, you know, a long time ago, it's all a little bit of a different ending. So that's what gets me. But anyways, I've had the privilege to help with editing and being a secretary to Ezekiel. We've been able to work on John, and we use a tool, the Venezuelan translation, which is very similar to ours, but not similar enough. And it's kind of like kind of old as well for the language now. You know how languages are always changing, and how the young people speak are different than the older people. And so I've had the great privilege of working with Ezekiel. We finished before 2020. But then all that happened with the pandemic, and even when Martha and I were in Boa Vista, we were communicating with Ezekiel, and he was able to send in some corrections on the translation, and we're in the final stages of correcting and comprehension checking. And when Lindy goes in October, Lindy Drake, to check the final checking of Genesis, which has been a long-going translation project, because of various things, what she was saying about the Transcendental Luther did, that reminded me, because a lot of things that happened even in Coy and Medium's life during that the years. And so Lydia is hoping to finish the Genesis completely so it can go to printing and then start the checking of John. So I really appreciate your prayers for that. So what do I do here?
Yeah, just press
this button up. That button right
okay.
there.
Okay, all right, thank you.
And okay. You can see the
all right, right. I don't have to turn my head and get a crooked neck. Okay, oh, this mountain range that you will see in other photos better. A lot of times that's cloud coverage, but the other side is Venezuela. And okay, planes are always an excitement. Even though the health people come in every, 15 days, they have a flight. Still, the MAF plane is like the excitement of the, the kids. They won't go around making cars. They always make planes, to play with. And they just love the plane. Plane day is exciting for us. On the past, the mailbag was like the most exciting thing. But now we have the internet, so we still like getting the mailbag. We do get snail mail once in a while, but it's not the most precious thing now. Oh, there's Martha. Airstrip plane day is always exciting. Sometimes we used to have chickens, but we don't after the pandemic. Our three chickens that we still had, I think they were in somebody's cooking pot. That's home sweet home. And I have to say, I love where I live. I love where I work. I love my home. I love cooking on a wood-burning stove. Although we do have a gas one too, but still the fuel is very expensive. So we do most of our cooking on wood-burning stove. I love baking sourdough bread. I actually like our old Maytag wash machine. I did this for my brother Phil. Because in the past we did everything just wringing out. So I love my wash machine and I love the scenery. I think we live in one of the most beautiful places. We just don't have a big enough river to have a lot of fish. So anyway, I love all that. I love the sunsets, but I'm not there because I think it's a beautiful place. I'm not there because we have wonderful fruit. My dad makes wonderful fruit salad. We had like 10 kinds of fruit in our fruit salad this morning. So there you go. We have a lot of fruit there. But what we're really after is fruit in the lives of, I love our garden. I was telling Bob coming here and what our garden. What the fruit we really want to see is lasting fruit in the lives of the Yanomami people. And like I said, Martha and I have a lot of opportunities with the children. That's our main focus, really, besides the translation work, of course. But we really have a lot of opportunities with the children. And we have been involved in the last few years of training the Yanomami teachers. We actually have three teachers that are trained, that are contracted by the government. It's through a school in Barcelos. So not a school, the township, I should say. So we're connected to that township. And so we are training them. And so that's what we're supposed to do, more training than actual teaching. So this is Eliezer. It's Ezekiel's oldest son. He's one of the teachers. My mom actually developed most of these primers, the school books. These are notebooks we just kind of fancied up for them. They love that. In the last several years, I've been involved in helping with the first grade class, but it's kind of kindergarten, preschool, first grade all at once. You have to teach them the coordination and all that. And I love working with those fresh little minds, and they're so enthusiastic. They're so much fun. the first grade teacher that I'm trained. Oh, they're just so funny. And now I was going to talk a bit more about the technology thing, but a lot of them have cell phones, although they don't get cell coverage there. But if you take pictures of them right away, they want to see what the picture. They're like, oh, brother, I got to show them the picture. But they're just so much fun. I made up a little song to teach the vowels, because we have 7 vowels, and they are really important in the Yanomami language. You can make a lot of words up just with vowels. The little girls of the class, and a birthday board. I had to redo the birthday board this year because it was just kind of falling apart, and there was a leak right in the roof. Anyways, I put this little wrapping paper of Frozen, but it just didn't grab them at all. I was like, they don't know what Frozen is, the movie, you know. So then I just said, okay, I'm going to do something else to get their attention. So I just plastered the board with National Geographic and other kind of magazine. They just loved it, you know. We have some story, like kids' storybooks that the Secretary of Education gave us from Barcelos, but they really don't get into them. They just think they're, I don't know, they just, but if you give them a National Geographic magazine, that's what they love. So, sometimes we get school snack from down at the place, the Secretary of Education, and that's a whole deal of how to get that up the river. But anyways, they love that. It's like beans and rice and noodles. Some stuff is not too good, but most of them, they like it. And we went through a kind of a hunger time, and they did in 2020, and then they finally, their gardens got better last year. And so sometimes the school snack comes at a good time when they are low on food. Game day, they love, it's really funny. They are really intelligent kids, and you go off in the jungle with one of these kids and they can know how to take care of you. But then it comes to coordination in school. Right away, in the first day, in your first grade, you can know right away which kid you're going to catch on. You know, just by their coordination skills, you just can see it. And so when you play games, the ones that are brighter in school, the coordination and writing, the ones that do the games better. And it's really funny. We have a lot of fun. Last year, we were very patriotic. We have sung the Brazilian national anthem, but not very often. But last year we decided we really try to teach them. I don't even know it by heart. Some of the words are really complicated. I'm trying to learn what they mean, but it was really funny because I would have it on. I downloaded something off the internet of the, you know, being sung, like, and so they learned it, but it's really funny because they will get the lines all mixed up and you see these little kids singing that national anthem, kind of the line, you know, and we have a guava tree behind our yard, and the guava branches are very flexible. It's kind of like a jungle gym or something, and so they swing up and down. I saw the group of boys. I never went out there to film them because I should have. They're swinging up and down the guava tree, singing the national anthem at the top of their voice. You know, it's so funny. And so we made little flags and little visor hats, and we went into on the 7th of September, which is Independence Day, we went into the communal houses, and we sang the national anthem, and it was a lot of fun. They're really funny. Some of the first grade class. Then after school is out, the Secretary of Education condensed 2 years into one because of the pandemic. And so the first semester last year was 2020, then the second semester was 2021, which made it challenging, but in a way it was good. And we always we don't give them much vacation time because there are always things happening like festivals or something and it breaks up. So it's kind of like, I don't know, my sister would homeschool and they wouldn't give much, she wouldn't give her kids much of a vacation because something happened. Visiting missionaries and then stop class, so it's kind of like us. We don't give them. And so we try to end class in October. And now the Brazilian school system, like England, is that the longer break is at the end of the year. So anyway, we were able to finish. And the reason that we finish early is because when it gets into dry season, they go off fishing with their families. And so they're not around a lot. But for the kids that were around and wanted to come, we did sort of a VBS. And so that was a lot of fun. We went over a lot last year, Psalm 139, and that's one psalm that we have, probably the only one that we have translated because of the chronological teaching of telling who God is. He knows everything about us. So I printed off some photos, actually, of my niece Annette when she was 9 months pregnant, and her ultrasound, you know, the 3D ultrasound that you can see, you know, the baby so clearly. And I wrote out in Yanomami, they just loved it. And then we went, I guess that's the same one, we're going through the verses. We memorized some of the verses. And then we did go through some of the younger ones. Every year Ezekiel is going through the chronological in the school and the Bible time. But we didn't do it a lot last year with all of them because he wasn't well. So I did it mostly with the younger kids. So we did that and we wanted to take a picture. Everyone wanted to hold something. And we did, we do this almost every year as kind of a little activity. The, and this is jumping all the way to the New Testament. But we do it, like, go through the whole, the bracelets of the wordless book colors. And so, maybe next year I'll take more down. I think we're fine. I almost run out, but they lasted quite a long time. And so that's neat because they go around telling the story to other people. Like we had even the little, real little ones, we had part of this VBS, and they go around and they tell people. One little quick story is, the health people that come in, the Brazilians, they're all, a lot of them have come from different churches, most of it churches that don't teach the word, the truth. Once in a while we have a believer there that is, you know, well, there was a one guy that he's, one of the kids was showing him the bracelet and talking about it. And he said, he talked to us afterwards. He said his mom was a believer. And he remembers when he was little hearing the gospel. But he wasn't, you know, walking with the Lord. I don't know if he was even a believer. But it was just neat that the kids were even a witness to, you know, other people. And actually the health people being there, it's kind of a another ministry for us. Adriele is a believer. She's a teen. She's actually in her early 20s. She's a husband now, but she's a believer that's not really come that often, but she helped a couple of times with the kids, the little ones coloring. And then I put the poster things out front, but we're trying to put more things and getting more reading material in the language. We don't have a lot for them to read. We don't have a lot of the Bible yet, and we don't have a lot of different, you know, reading things. So I have this. And it's really interesting, we have it right in front of our house, because then you hear who really does know how to read. And sometimes you're surprised, like, oh, that person knows how to read? Someone, an adult that maybe in the past went to school for a little bit, but we didn't know if they really caught on. And so the ladies, I think a few of these were in school and they do know how to read. So they're reading, you know, Psalm 139 or whatever else I put out there. It's kind of interesting. We have a little kids corner in our house, and sometimes we just have some kids in. We can't invite them in all the time because they would just take over. I mean, they love it. They love to watch everything we do. And the translation work, I really asked prayer for the translation work. And I've been so challenged and encouraged, actually, on these days of hearing about what Tom Palmer's still involved, you know, in the translation work. And Edna Trigg, she is doing translation checking of languages in PNG and Indonesia. I'm like, wow. So my prayer is that we can finish something, you know, finish. We have, Martin Luther only took 11 years to do the whole Testament. We're still trying to finish Genesis. You know, we have Luke and Acts. We have Ezekiel, according to Ezekiel, basically finished, they finished Ephesians, it's got to be checked, and they finished, just finished Galatians. And he's going back to working on Romans that they started in the past when my parents were still there. And so, and we're hoping to finish John real soon. So my prayer is that we can get really move forward the translation. And something else exciting is my niece, Annette, whose pictures I had there. She and her husband are with SIL, but his parents are with SIL, and his brother works with the Marubu tribe in Brazil with SIL, but with them together with, the, you know, ethnos people. So Nechi and Jake, they're going to come and work with us in Maradi. And I am so excited because his emphasis, his goal is to be exactly Bible translation. And so this is Ezekiel. We're going over something with him. Osini is one of the newer believers. I'm new as in Ezekiel was a believer back when he was 9 years old. And Osini is he's probably, I think, in his 40s, but he has a really hard time reading. He can read, but with a lot of struggle. And so he comes every afternoon, basically, almost every day of the week. And he's reading in John, and he copies verses to get to kind of help him, you know, get a little better. And then he takes that home and he reads it. So pray for Osini and his growth. How old this guy is in his family, well, part of his family. The last one was a little girl, so she's kind of spoiled. Hau is works with Akoi a lot in checking translation. He hasn't actually done the translation himself, but he's been really good about checking. He catches a lot of errors, and so Hau is one that's worked a lot with Akoi, our coworker. Nathan is actually Safita's nephew, and Ezekiel and Safita's, and he is a believer. And he went through, Martha's really been a real encouragement with the work with in the translation. And she was able to, we were doing it with different people, but she went through all of John with Nathan. And he, it was just such a joy for me to hear him read. And he read with such clarity, and it just flowed. And that just was really encouraging. So this is his wife and his little daughter. A coin medium. I was going to meant to write to the families to have them, the couples, to send recent photos, but coin medium been there for many years. This is Lindsay and Coy on one of the checks last year in Genesis that they were almost finished with three of the guys. It's really neat. I've sat in and helped a couple times with these, but it's just really exciting. And this time it really went well, because it's hard for the guys to do. Okay, they read like a whole portion, sometimes a whole chapter, and then they have to answer questions or tell what's happening in the chapter. And sometimes, even though it's very clear to them, it's their language, you know, their mind will wander. They just don't, you know, just don't get the hang of it either. So then you read a shorter portion, maybe just five verses, maybe just one verse. But these guys, especially this guy, Ophrazi, the one that looks like he's sleeping, but it really isn't, he just really caught on. And I was just amazed. He would read a whole portion, and then ask him questions, and he remembered. His brother's sitting to the right of him, and then Duane isn't. They're all three are believers. He's from a communal house about 2 hours away. And so it was really exciting to see how they were just caught on better to the translation checking. This is in one of our meetings, and just pray for the believers. Like I said, they're kind of going through a lower time, especially last year. But our prayer is that they will see themselves as an identity, as a body, you know, part of the body of Christ, and that they will grow, you know, grow together and have a hunger for God's word. I don't think Ezekiel even knew I took this picture, but this is his, with his youngest son and one of his grandsons. He has five grandchildren. And just seeing him there walking alone makes me sad, because I know that he's now, you know, facing life without his wife, and he has a big family. But the Lord is with him, and he has really been encouraged in knowing that the Lord took Safita for a purpose. And so they've gotten into soccer. They're playing it right in the communal house now, and they put money together, and they got even, you know, the uniforms, the shoes, and everything. The Yanomami people, as I know that some of you have heard stories of, or even read The Spirit of the Rainforest by Mark Ritchie, there has been a lot of changes. More technology, they have their cell phones, they have clothes, there a lot of things have changed. But what they really believe, their core beliefs, their customs, most of that is the same. They have not changed. They have the witch doctors. The women do a lot of the work. Martha and I had a friend that visited. Her husband died of COVID in 2020, and she and her youngest son came to visit us. Well, the day after Christmas they got there, and so that was really fun. This is Ezekiel's youngest grandson and just one of the babies. Martha and Esther and I, we were there when he was born. So they still make their baskets. They still have their pole fights. They don't have them as often, but this was a fight over, it was actually over a woman. Sometimes it's over if they steal a lot from their gardens, but yeah. Typical, you know, girl, teenager. This is actually a girl holding her baby sister. She had a baby that was really deformed. Lenny, this lady, her first baby. And it was just amazing that she lived. She almost died. And I asked her if I could take this picture, because Esther and Noel, the couple that were there with us for several months, Esther was helped during the birth of the baby that was born deformed. Because the lady that was in there helping, one of the health workers, she was a nutritionist, but she had recently had a baby, so she couldn't do much a lot of physical things. So Esther and Safira were there when Lenny had her baby. And so Esther laughed, and I said, can I take a picture of you with your little sister to send to Esther? And she goes, yeah. So she was very pale still. She was still getting over all that. It was really, really hard, but I'm so glad she lived. Palm fruit. Right now, they have a lot of food. They go through different hunger times, but palm fruit and bananas is the main, you know, this is the mountain range on the other side of Venezuela, our friends. Oh, well, I was going to mention, we still have primitive rustic, like our wood stove or Maytag, but we have a solar powered fridge now, which is really nice. After school is out, we'd like to do something with all the kids, but a few things happened in the village. There was a death of actually a friend of mine, 20-year-old, and other things that happened, and we weren't able to have the after school thing and kind of telling who finished school, like we go through fifth grade. So we had something, this was on 31st of December, and not very many kids were around. I think some of them thought we were just going to do a Bible time, and they didn't want to hear the Bible, so, and others were with their families fishing. So Martha said, well, let's just have them all in the house. So we just had fun with them. Oh, I have this little Mary Joseph that sings the baby Jesus. I bought it somewhere up in Wisconsin last time I was here. That's where they're looking at. But anyways, they're just so much fun and just times with them. This little baby is the baby of the one I said died when she's 20. Oh, she was only 20 years old. And that's this baby was born in Boa Vista where his mother died, and it was a really sad situation too, but we have been able to really be close to this family. His grandparents, Bantu and Dosudo, are good friends. My parents know them really well. So this is little Jaciel, and Bantu, the grandfather, had to pick a name because before the baby got back from Boa Vista, he flew in with his daughter's body. Sadly, and then a few weeks later, the baby flew in with a social worker bride. But anyways, he had to name the baby because the pediatrician said we should give the baby a name. You know, he couldn't do the documents until he was in town. But so anyway, we were helping him pick out names, and Bentha likes to pick out names for his kids. A lot of times they ask us for names, and we try to come up with names, and it's hard because they don't repeat names usually, because if somebody dies, they'll never say that person's name again. And so we were looking for names, and so we Martha saw this I think in English it would be Jaziel. I think it's one of the descendants of Noah. And we were looking up, so he chose that name, and right after we were looking up the meaning of the name, is chosen by God. And we told that to Benza, who has been sensitive to the word, but he's not a believer yet. And so, because of things happening with the husband, actually, of the father of this child, the husband of my friend that passed away, probably, most likely, this baby would not have lived if he was born in the tribe. What they do, they don't abort babies, but at birth, they don't believe that the baby is a person until they're picked up off the ground. And so that baby wouldn't have lived because of the situation with the father. And so since that baby was in town and his mom died, the baby lived, and he was chosen by God to live. So anyways, we really love this little one, and we have him around. And his big brother is this one that I was just saying goodbye to the kids when I was leaving, and the one in the front. And it was really sad because he really missed his mom. One of his aunts has him in her hammock at night. But this is just flying when we're going to take off. And this is my parents' house. We're at the end of the airstrip. So we always go by when we're taking off. And we really appreciate the MAF people. And I know a prayer request was said here, but if you could pray that we can... that they can still buy gasoline, the aviation gasoline, so that they can still make the flight to the tribe. Our plan is to fly back into the village on the 29th, so I really hope we can. And then the hangar in Boa Vista. They have all these flags, little flags, if you can see them at the back. I think that's really neat of all, I don't know how many countries, but, so I think that's it. Yeah, my prayer for the young people and the children is that besides technology, which can be a good thing, it's also not such a good thing. They are in town sometimes with different health trips or the health workers that are the Yanomami people that go in, and they have bank accounts, and they download stuff on their phones that's not very good. And then alcoholism was never part of the culture there. There are some Indian cultures that they kind of let banana stuff or whatever sauce ferment and they drink it, but that was never, you know, in our culture there. But now they have gotten into, some have really actually been addicted. They start out like sniffing gasoline, not aviation gasoline, just normal gasoline. And then they will even mix a little bit with deodorant or alcohol from the clinic. They steal it and they drink a little bit. And at the village downriver, one young man died from drinking liquor, actually. But that doesn't shake them up, you know. When you're addicted. And so I just pray for that. And the prostitution is just part of their culture. It's not gotten, I don't really think, worse. It's just that's. And so for them to become believers and be and walk, you know, in the truth. I said to Ezekiel, because we've seen just so much of the, you know, the mixture sometimes or the not, you know, the growth, lack of growth. And I said, Ezekiel, what's hard is that there's so many of you and there's so few of you that are believers. And so, you know, we really need to pray for more and that they will have the courage to, you know, make a stand and be different. So thanks so much for, yeah.
Does anybody have any questions for Brenda? I've got one question. How close are you to the town that you mentioned?
Oh, the Barcelos, the town there, is about 50 minutes away, but we fly into Boa Vista, which is in the north. That's where the base is. The Boa Vista is in the state of Roraima. That's where the MAS base is, and our mission has a support base, like with the supply buyer. So that's 2 hours and 15 minutes to go there, but when you leave in the afternoon, for some reason, the wind or the heat or something, sometimes it can be almost, or if there's bad weather, almost 3 hours. It's really tiring. And when we left, Martha and I left, we asked the pilot if he could stop at the Nova de Mini village, which is the people that Becky knows the dialect from there. When we sang that verse, Becky wanted to sing in the other dialect. Where my parents, most of them moved to the Nova de Mini village from where my parents used to work, Coco B. And so we stopped there for almost 4 hours, and our friends that work there are building a house, and there's a man that's helping them from their home church. And then the pilot he's helped other times, he just helped with the construction, and I was able to visit with the people. And so it was nice to stop there because it gave us a break, you know, because that long flight all the way to town.
How many villages of Yanomami are there?
I don't know. There are a lot.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of dialects as well. Yeah. A lot of times we have village people come to visit from Venezuela. They cross the border. And we know they're from Venezuela because they know what village they're from, but they don't really know that they're in, you know, another country. They're just, you know, they don't really have that much contact, I think, with even towns there. But yeah.
How many? Do you have any kind of an idea how many different translations in Yanomami that are needed because of the different dialects?
Well, there's Sanama, because what are they called now? Cross, what's the mission? UFM is a different name now.
Yeah.
Anyways, because they work in villages, a completely different dialect. But I would say 4 or 5 in Brazil at least, don't you think, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Sanama is a really different dialect. I think I was mentioning to someone, at the volunteer at the clubhouse, that Ezekiel, because he's been to town enough, he can speak that dialect. I can't understand any of it. And he speaks it just fluently. It's just amazing. He has such a gift. Yeah.
Okay. How do you have electricity? How do you charge your...
We have solar panels, yeah.
Okay, solar panels.
Solar panels, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else have any other questions?
And so when it's really, really dark, we really need to have more batteries for our refrigerator because we have to have enough. Like, we turn the fridge off at night, and if it's really dark, like on a really rainy day, we have to turn it off for a bit. We'd be able to hold it, but but yeah.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming, Brenda, and sharing with us. And really neat how the Lord's worked this out. She's only here for about a month, so. She'll be heading back, and we want to pray for her as she heads back. And the other thing we need to add. Okay, let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word that we've heard this morning, we realize that these men and women and boys and girls, these children, live in a culture that in some ways is so much like the culture that is coming into even around us. And Lord, I just pray that you would really give wisdom and strength to each one. We think of Koi and Medium this morning too, and pray for them as they're partially retired, know that they've been there so many years, but yet are still involved to try to help and with translation and all. Lord, we just pray that you provide the finances that are needed. We pray that you'll provide the stick-to-itiveness, the faithfulness, the strength, and all to continue on and to be able, as Brendan mentioned, to be able to finish. And Lord, we want to be finishers. We want to see them finish. And Lord, pray for these people today, and know that many of them struggle too with addiction and with the culture and just so many things. And but yet we know that the light of the gospel is making an inroad to some of the hearts. We pray for Ezekiel this morning, that you would just bring comfort into his life as he has to adapt to life without his wife. Lord, we've seen death around so much, and we just pray this morning that it might be something to help wake some of them up to come to the place where they can really trust in Christ, and instead of trusting in the witchcraft and all of the other things that are just of Satan. We just thank you for Brenda again, and pray that you'll provide for her, for the gasoline, for her to get back into the tribe here just shortly. Thank you for this time with her, and just pray that you would bless her and Martha to her co-worker as they labor together. Thank you for your love to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.